Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Today, we're going to continue to look at the Holy Spirit, but we're going to look at the Holy Spirit as a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Go with me to John chapter 14. Remember when God was calling the church, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He says, "For you see your calling," and then He talks about God calls what? The weak to do what? God chooses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the things that are wise, and the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world to put to shame the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, because He's trying to get you into the spiritual realm. See, the idea is He's calling the church. He calls weak, foolish, and base. Weak is that word asthenios, weak. We all have some form of weakness or infirmity. And so foolish, remember, the Greek word for foolish is moreno. That's where we get the word moron. So He calls weak, morons, and base. The word base was a descriptive word it described a physical appearance and always referred to being ugly. In other words, these people were so ugly that they were ashamed to go into society. We all fit into one of them, right? So that's who He's calling. I used to think it was my weaknesses and my shortcomings that kept me from doing the things of God and kept me out of what God has called me to. But that qualifies you. Did you get that? That qualifies you to fulfill the will of God. Now go with me to John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 16, 17, and 18. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." How long?
Forever.
"The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So now He says, "And I pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." So there's the Trinity right there. Jesus is praying to the Father that He would give us another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. So there's the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right there in that one verse. So today we're looking at the Holy Spirit as a person. There are entire theological systems built on the fact that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Jehovah's Witness is one. They think the Holy Spirit is just a force and just a power, but He is a person, and the Bible teaches that. And so there's others, and I won't name them, but there are many others. The Bible teaches the Holy Spirit as a person. So we want to get some understanding on this idea of Him being a person. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and I was going to churches and trying to find my way and trying to work out this journey, you know. I'd go to a church and all they talked about was the Holy Ghost. I remember some of these people creeped me out. You know, Holy Ghost. And, you know, they talked to this real loud and real. But, you know, you didn't see a whole lot happening in their life. And they always wanted to get all spiritual. So you know what I'm talking about, right? I think the problem sometimes is in His name. You know, I always thought, why God didn't give Him a name, you know, Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to go talk to the Holy Spirit. You know, that just sounds a little out there, doesn't it? But, you know, that's the way it is. Why didn't he give his name John? I'm going to go talk to John. Then, you know, you like your formal churches. If you went there, you could say, "I'm going to go talk to Jonathan." And then your charismatics, you could say, "I'm going to go talk to Johnny." Sometimes names change things, don't they? God the Holy Spirit. And he's a person. So we have to understand. And when we connect with that, it changes, because you know what? You're always talking. You know, I'm always talking to the Holy Spirit. Constantly. And it just changes things. And when you begin to live that way and walk that way and understand this is a person that I'm talking to, that it changes your life. So God the Father describes him as being Father. God the Son is his Son. And God the Holy Spirit, his name is God. The function of the Spirit is to be the Spirit living in us. We must see him as a person. Now, what constitutes a person? Some people would say you have life. Well, a tree has life, but that doesn't mean he's a person, right? We have to look at this and say a person has a personality and exhibits the marks of a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. What would constitute a person? They have a soul. And so that's what we're going to look at today. The Holy Spirit has a soul. God has a soul. Isn't that incredible? What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that is a spiritual part of you. You actually see with your soul. You don't see with your physical eyes. You can actually have your eye put out and have an eye from somebody else. If the operation goes right, you can use that eye. Because you don't see with your eye. You see with your soul. Your eyes are just physical connectors to connect with your soul. So you can see the physical realm. And the Bible says we shouldn't look at the things that are seen. That's why all the problems around you, quit looking at them. We need to understand what's going on. And you know what? You hear with your ear, but you know what? You don't hear with your ear. Your ear is just an organ that helps you connect with your soul. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're in there because you got a soul and you are a spiritual being. You're in there, but you hear through this gate and you see through this gate. The Bible says the eye is the window of the soul. I'm trying to educate you on this area of the soul. A person has a soul. A mind. I used to think my brain was my mind. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is an organ that connects with the mind so you can think ideas, thoughts, and beliefs. Your brain is just an organ. If you cut me open, you wouldn't see my mind. You'd see an old organ brain in there. If you go in the hospital and you see a person with Alzheimer's, they can't communicate to you, but they're in there. They can't put two things together, but they're in there. The brain is not functioning right to connect with the mind. But they still hear you, and they still know you're there, but you see that. They just can't communicate it. But we need to understand. If you walk in a cornfield and you die, your body will drop right there and rot. But you will exit. I took a course on biblical anthropology. The soul weighs anywhere from 7 to 9 pounds. It's a proven fact. When someone dies, their body gets lighter. They exit. They go on. It has weight. You have a soul. That's what you are. You're a person. You got a personality. So does the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Matthew 12:18. This is God talking. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. You see, God has a soul. That was God talking. He has a soul. Go with me to Matthew 26, real quick. 26, verse 38. Then he said to them, meaning Jesus, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He has a soul. You see that? Now, here's the spirit. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. This is what constitutes a person. They have a soul. Hebrews 10:38. This is the Spirit speaking. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So God has a soul. God has a mind, God has a will, and God has emotions. The word soul in the Greek language is the word psuche. It's where we get the word psychology and psychiatry. Psychology is the study of the soul. Psychiatry is the treatment of the soul. In James 1:21, it says, it's the implanted word that is able to save the soul. The word saved is the word sozo, and it means to be made whole from many scattered parts. God has given us his word to make our souls whole and complete. Everything you do, you live out of your soul. All your everything comes out of your soul. So The soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions. What's the mind? Thoughts, ideas, and beliefs. The will is desires. And the emotions are feelings. So there are many scriptures that talk about the mind of God. The Bible says that we have the mind of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talks about that we have the mind of God. Okay, now, the will would be the desires. And emotions are feelings. There's all kinds of scriptures that talk about emotions. God was angry. God was happy. Those are feelings. So there's emotions. So we're going to look at each one of these emotions in the Holy Spirit. Is it possible to think what God thinks and to desire what God desires and to feel what God feels? See, those are all three in the emotional realm. That's what the Holy Spirit, the person, is doing in you. He is trying to get you to think what God thinks. He's trying to get you to the will of God, to the desires of God. And he's trying to get you to what? To feel what he feels. Sometimes you can feel his presence here. Sometimes you can feel his presence when you're by yourself having your devotion. Sometimes you can be listening to a praise song in the car and feel the presence of God. You feel it. It's tangible. That's because you're feeling what he feels. There's three words that describe God. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and omnipresent. The word omniscient is all-knowing. The word omni, that prefix omni, means all. So he's omni, all omniscient. Shunt is the word science, knowledge. He's all-knowing. Omnipresent, we can feel his presence. We can feel it. All presence. Now get this. Omnipotent describes his will. Potent is power. All power. He has all his will. See that? That describes power. So those three words literally describe his emotions. God wants you to see in the spiritual realm with your soul. He wants you to hear. Because Jesus said they have eyes to see, but they do not see. He said they have ears to hear, but they do not hear. He said, let them hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Anybody ever said, something smells fishy around here? And you know, there's not a fish anywhere, right? It's just something's a little off skelter here, right? That's called discernment. That's your spiritual senses. See, your spiritual sense, that's discernment. And you're picking up that something is fishy. Nathan used to say, I smell what you're stepping in. I like that. That describes discernment. So the idea is we have discernment, our senses. You see that? And the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's talking about spiritual food. So just like we have physical senses, we have spiritual senses. So let's look at this idea. Number one, mind, will, and emotions. We're going to look at the mind, God, the mind of God. The mind of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 58, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so he wants us to think his thoughts. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Holy Spirit is trying to get us to think what he thinks. Why? Because John 16, it talks about the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. You see, he knows all truth. If he knows everything, right? He's trying to get you to some understanding. That's where he's trying to lead you. Now, think about this. Because he's omniscient. Does God have an IQ? No. Albert Einstein had an IQ of 209. Just a couple points higher than what mine is. A couple hundred points. But IQ stands for intelligence quotient. Quotient is a formula of measurement. God's knowledge cannot even begin to be measured. You see that? His knowledge can't even begin to be measured. He knows everything about everything. And the good news is, he's living in you. If you're a born-again believer. That's the good news. He has every answer you're looking for because he knows all truth and he's all-knowing. God could never think of anything he's never thought of before. That just doesn't happen with God because he knows everything. His will. Let's look at this, his will. He has a will. Go with me to Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through, I'll let you think that in your mind. I'll let the Spirit reveal that one to you. And the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You know what the word forbidden means? To exert your will. So the Holy Spirit exerted his will to them to not preach the word in Asia. Now, you would have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to not preach the word wherever you were, right? Because I'm going to tell you what, I have preached the word when I probably shouldn't have. I have done that. I have gone into a fast food store and just stopped everybody and said, hey, listen to me. And just started preaching. Yeah, I've done that. And, you know, wondered what's going on. But then I've done that. And then people get on their knees. And the Holy Spirit does something. You see what I'm trying to show you? Is that when you're in tune with it and you get to know him, you know when to do this. Now think about this. There's the general will. And then there's the specific will of God. In Romans 8:14, it says this. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Sons speaks of maturity. That word led, L-E-D, it comes from a Greek culture. And this is what they meant by when something was led. It was they would put a rope around a cow's neck or an oxen's neck or a calf or a sheep. And they would lead that animal to wherever they were taking it to. Because that animal, a lot of times, didn't want to cooperate. So they would have to lead it, and it'd be led. The word led in the Greek language is ago. Ago is where we get the word agonize and agony. So when the Holy Spirit is leading you, there's going to be some agony, and there's going to be some agonizing. And see, he's trying to get you to the truth. The Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. The Bible says Jesus was led into the Garden of Gethsemane where he was in the oil press. Not my will, but thy will be done. The Bible says that Jesus was led as a lamb is led to the slaughter, and as the sheep is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You see, folks, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's going to be agony. Because he's trying to get you to his will and to do his will. And that's what he's after. It's not a cakewalk because our flesh doesn't want to go there. He's trying to get you to the truth. All right. There's the general will of God. There's the specific will of God. The general will of God is right here. God's word, the Bible. It teaches you about morality. Teaches you not to lie. To tell the truth, teaches you to be faithful, teaches you to be loyal. It teaches you how to live. It teaches you to honor your parents. It teaches you how to love your spouse, how to treat your children. The general will of God is right here. Does it tell you who to marry? No. That's the specific will of God. You have to hear God's voice to get into the specific will of God. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. You see, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. For the specific will of God, we have to know the voice of God. I've had people come in and say, can't you just tell me what the will of God is for my life? We got to do it on our own, right? It's a personal relationship. And that's important to understand because he's a person. Now, before the Holy Spirit came, 2,000 years ago, God only would speak through one person, the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Samuel, Moses, Habakkuk, Joel, Jonah, Micah, Malachi, Amos, and Andy. Oh, not Andy. But one person. Then there was a 400-year period where no one heard from God. He didn't speak to anybody. But now, Peter declares this, Acts chapter 2, verse 16 and 7. Thus says the Lord God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, says the Lord God. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Now we are living in a day where every one of us can hear from God. And everyone can hear from the Spirit of God. And every one of us can speak on the Spirit's behalf. Am I making sense? That's the day we're living in. And that's why we are in this time. We are in the right place at the right time with the right people, because God is calling us to connect and speak for him in this region to bring others into the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? That's what's going on. And we're going to have to go through some stuff to get there, to advance that. That's his will. You can know his will if you know him. Now we're going to look at his emotions. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to have you go to Galatians, but write Galatians 5:22 down. Galatians 5:22 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. These are attributes that only a person can have. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, kindness. Those are all the fruit of God's Spirit. Those are all personal attributes. A tree can't have any of those, right? Those all come from a person, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. So, love, joy. Joy is an emotion. Go with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 30. So we're talking about the emotions of the Spirit. And do not grieve the what? Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? When we grieve, it's because intimacy is broken. That's what that comes from, when we grieve. I was at a funeral this week, and I could tell there was people grieving. When we grieve like that, now listen, when we grieve at a funeral, and they're believers, and they're no longer there, but they're actually in heaven, right? We're grieving because we no longer can see them and talk to them, because the intimacy has been broken. Even knowing that we will see them one day again, but we still grieve. Well, see, that's what's happening. Intimacy is broken when the Holy Spirit is grieving. The word grieve in the Greek culture is what the word they would describe. They would describe when somebody was grieving. In other words, somebody found their husband in bed with another woman. It would grieve them. It was a deep grieving. Or the husband found his wife with another man. That's what it described, a grieving. So it's a picture of what the Holy Spirit is going through when you do certain things. You see why when we grieve, he knows that he's going to see you again and connect with you. But in the meantime, he's grieved. What grieves him? Verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer. Stealing grieves the Holy Spirit. So if you're a thief, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you need to stop stealing, because it breaks intimacy. Doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation if you've been truly born again, because the sin issue has been dealt with. It means you've broken intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need to give. You see, if you don't give, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? You and I are the only ones who can advance God's kingdom. It takes finances to advance God's kingdom. When we don't give, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We are the answer to feed the world. We are God's bank account to feed the world. If they're not getting fed, it's because we're not giving. The answer is in your back pocket. And the Holy Spirit wants us to give. And when we don't, it grieves him. What grieves the Holy Spirit? You know what? This is sin. When you steal, when you don't want to, that's sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, why? Because the Holy Spirit's a prude? No. Because sin hurts people. Sin hurts people, and it hurts you. He loves you, and he loves people. That's what grieves. He wants the best for you. But when you do that, it grieves him. It breaks intimacy with him. Am I making sense? Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So in other words, every word that comes out of your mouth should be that which edifies and gives grace to the hearers. That's why I come down hard on gossip. I hate it, because it grieves the Holy Spirit. And that's why when we come into this place, we are going to try to edify you and build you up. That word edification means to build up, to restore, to remodel. That's why when you come here, that I don't care what, I don't care if you're a prostitute, I don't care if you're robbing banks, I don't care what you've done, you are going to come here and we're going to edify you, we're going to build you up, and we're going to give you the grace you need to get you where God is calling you to. Am I making sense? Because any other thing grieves the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to break into him. We want him to be moving up in here. Am I making sense? Come on now. Now look at this. Let all bitterness, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from your mouth with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now think about this. We got to hit this word bitterness. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Let all bitterness. See, when you're bitter, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Acts 8, 23. I'm just going to read two verses, but if you go back up and you read that whole chapter, you'll see what was taking place there. I'm going to read two verses for the sake of time. Verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this, your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Now look what it says. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. You know what? A bitter person, anything that flows into a bitter person becomes stagnant and dies. When a person is bitter, you can love them, you can do everything for them, you can, whatever you do, it will never be good enough because it just gets bitter as it gets in there. Huh? You ever been around those people? I know those people. I know some people. I don't know all of them, but I know a few of them. But no matter what you do, no matter it just gets sour. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. You know what? Now watch. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any bitterness should spring up and root of bitterness should spring up, cause trouble and cause many to be defiled. Bitterness can cause people to be defiled. Bitterness can keep people from coming to Christ. The word defiled means unholy. He says, without holiness, no one sees the Lord. So bitterness will affect you physically, spiritually, and mentally. Bound by iniquity. Bound by iniquity. What's iniquity? I used to think that sin was iniquity. But iniquity is a pattern. It's a habit. It's a habit that keeps you in sin. You see, if you have these patterns that keep you in sin, the Holy Spirit's going to be grieved all the time. Iniquity would be like a drug addiction. It would be like pornography, a pattern. It keeps you in sin. It grieves the Holy Spirit. When I got married, my wife was pregnant. When my dad got married, my mom was pregnant. When my grandpa got married, my grandma was pregnant. Because the Bible says your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far back as 3 and 4 generations. A lot of us have patterns that keep us in sinful behavior that keeps grieving the Holy Spirit. We have to deal with that. If we are going to go on with the Holy Spirit and we're going to be led into all truth and receive the truth and go forward, we have to deal with that. If you really want what God has for you and you really want to walk in the plan and purpose of God today in this life and fulfill it, you're going to have to deal with some stuff. There's something maybe keeping you from the truth or His will in your life. We're going to ask for help from the Holy Spirit because He's our helper. He's our helper, and He's trying to get us to the truth, remember? Into all truth.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.
love.